Something is wrong. Thank you, choir. Thank you for leading us in worship and in leading us to the throne. Last week, we started a new sermon series. It's a sermon series which has a very interesting title. The title is When Pigs Fly. Something, you know, I grew up saying a lot, and turns out it's worldwide. People around the world say, when pigs fly, to express that idea that, you know, this is impossible. Something cannot happen. It is never going to happen. I don't care what comes along. That'll happen when pigs fly. And so really what we're talking about in this series, and we'll be covering it for the next 4 weeks, including today, and really what we're talking about is when God intervenes and does the miraculous. What does a miracle look like? What does it look like for us to experience a miracle? Something that should not be possible, something that should be impossible, and yet God intervenes, God does something special, and a miracle takes place. And we started last week in our conversation about when pigs fly and when God is doing miracles in our midst, and we started talking about the miracle of deliverance. Now, that's a word that is kind of, it has some baggage with it, and some people expect different things from whenever they hear that word. But what we really talked about is that God can deliver us from the chains of our sin, our rebellion against Him. That God can free us from those chains, and that He can deliver us from the oppression of our enemy. And we spent a lot of time last week talking about the fact that we really do have an enemy who is trying to destroy us. And that it is a miracle that through the strength that God gives us, He can set us free. He can deliver us from that enemy. And today, I want to take that a second step. I want us to talk about, because the freedom that we receive, the miracle of freedom that we can live in. Because I think all too often what happens is we talk about that step of deliverance. We talk about coming to faith in Christ, being set free. We are redeemed from our rebellion. He sets us free from that rebellion. But all too often, I know people, and you know people, who don't live in that freedom. And we are quickly, in fact, the Bible verse that we read earlier from Galatians, the whole book of Galatians really is dedicated to talking about Paul saying, don't allow yourself to be chained again once you've been set free. And yet, whenever we look around us, and perhaps only also in our own lives, we see that all too often, the freedom that we are set free to experience is not the experience that we have on a daily basis. Rather, we experience chains. We experience troubles. We experience those things that seem to keep us bound, that keep us from experiencing what it is that God desires for us to experience. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly, in Überfluss, we say in German, an exceeding abundance. Is that what you experience? Is that what you experience? Is your experience with Christ that life is not only not that you have life, whenever we come to faith, whenever He sets us free, whenever He breaks those chains, we have life. That is the essence of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We have moved from death to life. But then we need to live. We need to actually live to experience the freedom. And yet it is a miracle whenever that happens. I want to tell you a story, and it's a little bit longer than the stories that I normally tell you, but I think that it will really illustrate what it is that I mean by this freedom that doesn't mean that everything suddenly moves from trouble to no trouble, from heartache to no heartache, but rather it is a miraculous freedom that in the midst of whatever it is that we are experiencing can change our lives. Did you know that you can experience abundance in life when you have need? You can experience abundance in life whenever you have heartache. You can experience abundance in life whenever you have trouble. You can experience freedom even if you are in chains. Kayla, we would say her name, Mueller in English. Mueller, you can tell that she definitely has some German ancestry. But Kayla Mueller was born in Prescott, Arizona. She attended Northern Arizona University and graduated in 2.5 years. Quick for a degree. She was a political science major and managed to do her degree in 2.5 years. But Kayla had always been a cut above everyone else. Not only that, Kayla was the kind of person who cared about other people. Starting in the 7th grade, she began to get involved with different kinds of ministry. She was a believer even as a young teenager. She came to faith in Christ. And so when she was in the 7th grade, she began to serve in the homeless ministry. And she began to work with the homeless in her hometown. And as she went on through school and went to high school, she got involved and helped support and raise awareness about the genocide that at that time was taking place in Darfur. It was such that her involvement was such that it raised she came to the attention of a lot of people, and she won the Gold Presidential Volunteer Service Award in 2007. She was a unique young woman. Her faith in Christ was the motivation for her service, and as she went off to the university, she got involved in Christian organizations on campus and began to serve those around her. Her minister at the time that she was on the university described her as a humble, down-to-earth girl who liked to ease the suffering of just one person. As long as there was one person who was suffering, Kayla was going to find that person and try to ease their suffering. While in college, she traveled to India, to Israel, Palestinian territories as a part of mission trips. And then whenever she would come home to Arizona, she was involved in a ministry at an AIDS and HIV clinic. She was on one of these mission trips in 2013, and on August 3rd, 2013, she and a friend visited a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Aleppo, Syria, to repair the hospital's internet connection. You've got to have internet today. And so they were helping to repair the hospital's internet connection, but they had come to the attention of ISIS. And because of that visit, they knew where they were, and the next day, she and her friend both were abducted by ISIS. That was in August, and no one heard from her until the following spring. In the spring, she sent a letter to her family through cellmates who were released, and she wrote and told her parents, her family, and her friends. She said, "I remember Mom always telling me that all in all, in the end, the only one you really have is God. I've come to a place in my experience where, in every sense of the word, I have surrendered myself to our Creator because literally there is no one else." And she added, "I have been shown in the darkness light. And I have learned that even in prison, one can be free." She assured her family, she said, "I have a lot of fight left inside of me. I'm not breaking down, and I will not give in, no matter how long it takes." She never gave up. When one of the fellow guards claimed that Kayla had converted to Islam, she denied that claim in front of everyone, embarrassing the guard. A hostage who witnessed her courage said, I would not have had the guts to say that. It was clear to all of us that we were impressed by the strength that she had shown. Her fellow hostages say that she never surrendered hope and selflessly put the welfare of her fellow captives above her own. One former hostage reported that Kayla had had the chance to escape, had had the chance to sneak out of the house where they were being kept, but they were being kept with a group of teenage girls, and her fear was is that because she was an American, if she had escaped with these teenage girls, they would have come hunting for all of them, and all of them would have been found and taken back, and perhaps it would have caused the death of those teenage girls. And so she told them, I will stay, but I want you to go. And they did. And all of those girls escaped and lived. But Kayla was tortured and was eventually killed. And in February of 2015, it was simply announced that she had died. Photos of her body were sent to her parents. A week ago, a U.S. Special Forces operation was named after her, killed the man who was responsible for her death. He'll be remembered as one of history's worst criminals. Kayla will be remembered as a martyr for her faith. Now, you know, we can talk about how we might feel about that operation and what Kayla might even have thought. But here's what I think, to be honest with you. I think she would have tell us that it all misses the point. That the point was is that she was free the entire time. That there was never a moment in her captivity that she was not free. And that was more important than anything else. She would want us to know, and again, I understand why some would have a great deal of satisfaction in her killer being brought to justice. I totally understand that. But I think Kayla would have wanted us to focus on something else. I think she would have wanted us to focus on the freedom that she had the entire time that she was in chains. I think she would want us to understand that in spite of 2.5 years of captivity, where she was at times chained, where she was at times tortured, and eventually she was killed in what was very likely a very terrible way to die. And yet I think she would sing the praises of her Savior, who in the midst of that captivity gave her freedom. I think she would want us to know that the captivity of her body was nothing in comparison with the freedom of her soul. That is the miracle of the freedom that God gives us. It is not dependent upon our circumstance, but is rooted in the one who says to us in John 8:36, Jesus says to us, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Then why is it that so many of us don't live in that freedom? Here's Kayla, the story, and I think that story illustrates the very worst that we think about what could possibly happen to us. And how is it that Kayla could experience freedom in the midst of that? How could she experience the freedom of the soul and freedom? How is it that she would turn down an opportunity to escape? Because that wasn't the most important thing. The freedom that she had in Christ was more important to her than the freedom that she might have in her body. It's interesting, and it's really no mistake that Jesus began his earthly ministry with a message about freedom. I want us to think just briefly about that passage in Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. It's at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it starts in verse 16, and it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him, and he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" One of the shortest sermons ever preached. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, this passage in Isaiah is talking about the year of Jubilee. And a lot of Old Testament scholars, the idea behind the year of Jubilee was that everything would be set back and restored to where it should be. That if people had, literally in those days, people would sell themselves into slavery. If they were poor and had no other option, they would sell themselves into slavery. They would sell their property that maybe the family had had for generations. They would go into debt. They would do a multitude of different things because of the circumstances that had pressed them into places that they did not want to be. And the idea of the year of Jubilee is that it would come, and every 50 years it would come approximately, and that this year of Jubilee would set everything back where it should be. It would restore what was lost. It would restore what had been sold because of circumstances. Those in prison would be set free who were perhaps in prison because of debt or other things. And they would be set free, and everything would be set right. It's a great idea. Wonderful idea. Most Old Testament scholars say it never happened. Not one single time. As far as we can tell, there never was a time that actually was put into practice. Now, isn't that the way life is? Don't you feel like sometimes you get into these ruts, you get into these situations, and things just go and go and go further and further and further into whatever that circumstance is. And you keep thinking, "I'm going to set this right. I'm going to set this right. I'm going to bring this back where it needs to be. And we're going to do it. This is going to be our year." Right? We've all thought that. We've all had those times that we've thought, "This is going to be the time, the year, the setting. We're going to have a new start." And yet it seems like it never happens. And we continue in these prisons that we have built for ourselves. Did you notice what Isaiah said? When Jesus is reading this passage out of Isaiah, it's interesting for us to look and to see what he says about the things, the ways in which this Jubilee, this year of Jubilee, will set people free. And he says, the first thing he says in verse 16 is he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, to those who have nothing." And if you've ever been in the situation where you have nothing, it can feel like a prison. There is no resources to do what you need to do. And it is a cycle that you get into this cycle, and it seems like that cycle continues downward, and it never gets better. And just when you get ahead, we've had times like this. Whenever it seems like you just about are to get ahead, you see the end of the tunnel, and then the car breaks. Then someone gets sick. Then something happens, and that cycle continues. And it feels like there is no way out. And Jesus says, I have come to proclaim good news to the poor. Then he goes on and says, proclaim liberty to the captives. We can become captive to almost anything. Anything you relinquish, because captivity is all about relinquishing control, right? We no longer have control over our own lives. If we think in terms of jail, of that kind of imprisonment, of captivity, then someone else has control over our lives, and we no longer have control over our lives. But the worst captivity is not the one that comes from someone else. It's the one that comes from us. And yet we can be held captive. We can be held captive to our lust. We can be held captive to money. We can be held captive to so many things in our lives that we simply can't let go, and we are not in control. We have no control over that. Our anger perhaps burns at times, and we do things that we wish we didn't do. There is captivity that is worse than the captivity of the body. Jesus says, I have come to proclaim liberty to the captives. He says, sight. The recovery of sight to the blind. We can see. And just as with captivity, there is blindness that we have that will not allow us to see what it is that God desires to do. Have you ever been in the circumstance where you look and you see someone that you care so much about, and yet they seem to be blind to the circumstances that they find themselves in? And you see it so clearly, you see so clearly what it is that is happening in their lives, and they're destroying themselves, they're going down a road that you know is going to lead to their destruction, and yet they seem to be blind to it. Let me just tell you, you cannot give sight. There is only one who can give sight, and that is Jesus. And then he says, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And sometimes we are oppressed. Sometimes there are people around us, there are circumstances around us that oppress us, that prevent us from experiencing life and freedom as God desires for it. And it seems like there is nothing that we can do to get out of this oppression, out of these circumstances which are pressing in around us. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's any number of things, but there are these circumstances that are oppressing you. And Jesus says, I have come to proclaim liberty for those who are oppressed. Now here's the mistake we make. We make the mistake of thinking that what Jesus is going to do is cure those things. He's going to stop those things. And so suddenly we make the mistake of thinking that freedom will take the shape of the poor becoming rich. And so we're looking for God to send some money our way. Or we think that what it means to become, to give liberty to the captives is that suddenly we won't struggle with those things that are our own desires that keep us captive. Or our blindness, we think that suddenly overnight it'll just simply happen that we won't have those problems anymore and we'll be able to see clearly and we'll have wisdom for all of those things. And maybe we think that our boss is going to be transferred to another place so that we won't be oppressed. God, please transfer my boss to another location so that I'm no longer oppressed. Let me warn you, the next one coming can even be worse. Just saying. Here's the thing. More often than not, God desires to give us freedom in the midst of those. And sometimes, even uses those circumstances to show us what freedom truly is. Because there is a freedom that is greater than our circumstance. His freedom is not dependent on any of our circumstance. Now, please understand me. I'm not saying that Jesus is saying we shouldn't try to change our circumstance. It would not have been wrong at all for Kayla Mueller to have escaped those terrible bonds. I wish we could celebrate her life now as a living, she was alive. If you were in bondage to something, if you're in bondage to drugs or whatever it might be, then seeking help and release from that bondage is exactly the step you need to take. If you're sick, if you're depressed, seek help. Captive to anger, sexual appetites, whatever, anything that is seeking to destroy you, that the enemy will seek to use to destroy you, get help. It's not what I'm trying to say. But what I am trying to say is there is a freedom that surpasses every other kind of freedom. And that is not dependent upon our circumstance. And you can have that as you're in the process of getting freedom from the other. It's not saying don't get the help, but it is saying that there is a freedom that will release you and release your soul that is not dependent upon your circumstance. And that's the miracle. The miracle is not that we win the lottery and don't have to worry about poverty. The miracle is that God gives us riches beyond any money that we could ever have. The miracle is in Him. And in Him, He can set us back to where we should have been in the first place. It's the year of Jubilee. In Christ, this is the year of Jubilee. In Christ, freedom is today. In Christ, we can experience, regardless of our circumstance, we can experience the miracle of God's freedom. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this kind of freedom is not a freedom that we understand very easily. It's so easy to get caught up in our circumstance, to see the things around us, and to always repeat that cycle of going back to that. And rather than finding our freedom and our source of strength in You, it's so easy to go back in that cycle and think about the things that hold us captive. To go back and to think that we cannot be released from those bonds. And yet, Father, You tell us that when we are free in You, that we are free indeed. And so, Father, we pray that You would give us the strength and wisdom to let go, to allow You to give us that freedom, to not see that cycle, but rather to see who You are, to live in Your presence, to live in Your freedom. Father, to work and to seek to change our circumstances, yes, but first and foremost, to experience the freedom that You desire to give us. Lord, help that to be who we are today. Father, may this be the day of Jubilee in our lives. We pray this in Your holy name.